all wonderful people, and welcome to, ta-da, episode 60 of the Low Carb Universe Show.
That is insane.
Yes, it is. did we ever believe this when we did the first ones? We thought, let's try.
We still don't believe it, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. No, but it's fun. So we'll continue doing it. And this episode will be fun because we are going to debunk some common myths when it comes to keto and low carb.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this, actually.
Yeah. And you actually, the one that really made us do this episode was a question or a comment you got the other day.
Yes, it was. Actually, I was involved in a discussion in a group on social media. And the person says that eating low carb is dangerous. It's you play with life and death because your brain dies because of too little carbs on keto.
Yeah, that one is I can't understand. I'm pretty bored with that one actually because we are so many that have been doing this now for many years.
Yeah, and, I know.
Yeah.
It would be really weird if the brain died on keto because considering that so many people actually experience the complete opposite, they get, you know, more clear thinking, they get rid of the brain fog, they get, you know, more quick thinking on keto because, you know, you don't have that sugar to fuel your cells. And yeah, it just really perplexes me that people still actually think this one.
It's so crazy. That's a terrible myth.
Because, of course, also the body, as we know, but maybe clearly not this person, so we will take it again. The body can, of course, produce the carbs that, or the sugar, the glucose that you need for your body. And yeah, it's a complete myth that the brain needs whatever, 120 added carbs.
Yeah.
A day to survive. It may need some glucose, that's true, but yeah, that can also be made through gluconeogenesis, which is of course the liver that steps up and turns proteins and some fats, not much at all, but some of the fat into glucose so that it can be used in the body for various things. But that doesn't mean that you have to add it from the outside.
No, exactly. That is no, debunked.
Yes.
That is it. Yeah. And my first is that sometimes you can hear people say that, oh, your body will be acidic if you eat low carb or keto.
Yeah.
And the thing is with acid in the body is that the important thing is the pH value of the blood.
Yes.
That should be. That is so precise and exact. It should be around 7.4, maybe 7.38 to 7.42 or something.
Yeah.
And you can't make anything, you can't draw any conclusions out of measuring in your urine, for example, because that only shows that your system is working.
Exactly.
So, and all this with acid and what's the other?
Alkaline.
Alkaline, yeah. We have a wonderful body that regulates this so good. It's the professional body thing we got.
It really is. But I do wonder if people in this case aren't confusing the sort of ketosis with ketoacidosis again.
Yeah, it could be. It might could be. But I've heard this also. I heard this a long time ago when I started, and it wasn't that much talk about diabetes and low carb at that time. So I think that because there's a group of people that is eating according to be alkaline or more acidic or whatever. So that is a thing. I heard it in other. Some can, of course, mistake it. That is true. But you know, if the blood as if you are alive, your pH value in your blood is perfect.
Exactly.
Because if it gets wrong, you will die.
definitely, which is actually incidentally what DKA is, but
yes, but
because the pH level goes down way too far, it becomes dangerous.
Yeah, but these people talking about this, they claim that everyone, it's dangerous for anyone.
Yeah.
So we can debunk it.
Again, which is beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my next one will be, this is going to be a hard one.
Okay.
Enjoy. You have to drink bulletproof coffee or eat exogenous ketones to be keto. We have debunked this one before, but I think it's very important that we bring it up again because this is clearly not true.
No, this is so it's just, we often, people in our community often talk about the big pharma or big food, that they only want to earn money, take money from people. and you know that people making exogenous ketones, they also want to earn money from you. Yeah, they want your money. And as it might have a good function if you are training, maybe. Is it
I think maybe for like when you have to be in super deep ketosis, but then also that you're adding fake ketones, so I don't know.
Yes, but because the purpose is that you should get your body to make them yourself.
Exactly. By itself. And then burn them, and so you have the perfect circle.
Yes. So, yeah. Don't buy it.
You don't have to. If you are starting out and you're having problems with keto flu and everything, then by all means, try whatever you need to do. But in the long run, I don't think it is necessary at all to do any of those things while you're still keto.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Debunked,
we can say. And I have another myth that is actually not a criticism of low carb or keto.
Wow.
it's the opposite, that people say, oh, you can eat anything and how much you'd like to when you're keto and low carb, you won't get fat.
Let me
tell you, that is not correct because you can overeat on low carb as well.
And it's very easy because most of it is very yummy.
Yes, it's super yummy.
Like you finally get to eat yummy food after years of insert weird diet here. And then you finally get to eat like full fat products and, you know, mixed with sweeteners and like nut flours and stuff. And that in a combination can be really freaking delicious. And it's so easy to overeat if you don't take care and if you don't look out for it. And I have to this is one of my newer sort of points about keto is that, of course, you can still overeat, meaning that calories do still matter. But the huge difference is from, you know, oh, eat less and move more. It is that, of course, a calorie is not a calorie.
Yeah.
And I think that in combination just makes much more sense than, oh, you can eat whatever you want on keto and you'll never gain weight. Or, you know, the opposite, which is, you know, move more, eat less. No. Both sides have a point, but they have to overlap rather than
I can just take myself for an example because I started to decrease my fat intake. It's maybe 1.5 year ago now. And when I started to eat more protein, I got satisfied much faster because it's like I get full quicker on protein than
exactly
fat. Yeah, so I don't, it's very seldom I add fat, and I counted I registered everything I ate the first 2 weeks when I went full carnivore, and I saw that I sometimes, some days, depending on what I ate, but I ate only like 500 calories.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's not an my goal, because I very it was those 2 weeks I was just curious. I don't care about. I just listen to my body.
Exactly.
But I lost like 5 kilos.
Yeah.
And that has to do. So it's a difference. I ate more protein, and the body took my own fat. And yeah. So no. Yeah. Yeah, you can. It do depend, and you have to. That this is where you need to tweak and look at
exactly.
If something isn't happening. It is so very individual.
It really is.
But if it doesn't work, keto doesn't work the way you want it to work. If you sort of want to lose weight, you need to take a look at what you're eating. You can register for a few days to see. And maybe you can see, okay, I can actually decrease my fat intake, maybe.
Yeah, there are so many things that you can do, but that is definitely one that I would see as one of the biggest things that people can do when you hang out in these forums and in these social media groups where people are like, oh, keto's not working for me, I'm gaining weight, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't drink 5 bulletproof coffees a day,
exactly.
Which have 400 calories each, which is then, you know, 3 times 4 or 5 times 4, whatever. That's over 2,000 calories. Forget it.
Yeah, exactly. And drinking is the easiest way to get calories in. Drink water.
Yes.
And sometimes a glass of coffee.
Yes. Definitely.
I think that is just nutritious.
I think that's the key to success.
It is.
With keto. Adding on to this actually is, of course, that the next myth, which is too much protein is not keto, which is also absolute bull, I find, because basically the goal with ketosis is to stay in ketosis. So as long as you're producing and using, burning the ketones that you do make, you are in ketosis.
Yes.
And it's going to take a lot, like a lot of protein for you to be kicked out of ketosis, even as a type 2, even as everything, with whatever metabolic issues you're working with, it's going to take a lot, way more than you can eat protein before you feel full to kick you out of ketosis.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so and the same there, just try.
Try it out. Like, for example, our many times speaker, Vanessa Spina, ketogenic girl.
Yeah.
She's recently, I think about a year ago, she was afraid of protein because, you know, it would kick her out of ketosis, it would make her gain weight, blah, blah, blah. And what has happened? Actually the opposite.
Yeah.
She's actually lost weight, she has more muscle definition, although she doesn't do, you know, super much exercise and sports. Mm-hmm. But you know, everything has improved rather than, so basically against her beliefs, everything has improved.
Yes.
And that was very inspiring to see, I find.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And do you want to know a secret about me?
Yes.
I don't care about ketones.
No, me neither. No, but some people do. So.
Yes, I know. But you don't have to do that.
No.
No.
As long as you feel good, do whatever works for you.
Yeah,
and that you reach your goals clearly, but that's
exactly you know. Yeah. And I have another one because it's very now it's sorry, there's a lot of people doing carnivore, and we're talking about eating offal because it's very there's intestines and organs and thing from animals because there's a lot of nutrition in those organs, and people say you shouldn't be eating liver. Because all the poisonous stuff in your body gets stuck in the liver, sort of a seal. I don't know what you call when you put it. It filters and it stays in the liver.
Yeah.
But that's not correct. The liver works it collects the poisonous stuff and it shoves it out of our bodies. It doesn't stay there. It doesn't stay there. It's the same with the kidney. I'm convinced, because if all the garbage, especially from eating garbage so many years, my liver ought to be like in order to have a special suitcase to bring it on.
Yes, in that case.
Yes, in that case, yes. So eat liver. It's so nutritious and it's also very yummy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't be afraid of liver.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah.
All right, let's go for the next one, which is mine, of course, because this is also something that I've heard in the past, or read in the past, I think actually 24 hours as well, which is that type 1 diabetics cannot eat keto. And this bewilders me. This makes me think that I'm doing something wrong sometimes, because I've been, well, the few times that I have checked, I've been in constant ketosis for about 5 years.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what it is that I'm doing wrong in that case that makes me feel so much healthier, more vibrant, more energetic, more powerful, more everything on very low carb eating. In comparison to everyone else who then apparently just die from it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Apart from the fact, of course, that this is a definite confusion of ketosis versus ketoacidosis, which is not the same thing at all. And I did a video about this, I think, last week, which you can find on our YouTube channel.
That is good. That was a good one.
Thank you very much. Yes, I really enjoyed
doing it. All you listeners, you should listen to that one, because that's a good one. And share it so people,
Yeah, exactly. So that people actually understand what's going on, because a lot of medical professionals don't even understand it. And so I guess I have to take it upon myself to explain it to people. But yes, keto with a lot of fat might be problematic for type 1 diabetics, because it may make you more, and listen to this, insulin resistant. So really the key to eating so-called keto or just low carb with type 1 is actually low carb, higher protein, which goes back to our previous conversation today.
Yeah. And you've been going higher protein.
I have, and I love it.
And you're all alive. These
and all these steaks I get to eat, and all these pork chops and chicken, and so good.
Yeah. You shared a recipe with me yesterday.
Yes,
with chicken with 40 cloves of garlic.
Yes. Oh my God, it was so good.
Yes, and I think I have to try it, because it really sounded super yummy.
It was so good. Like, the chicken was super juicy and tender, and I had it with some cauliflower. What's it called? Mash.
Mash. Yeah.
And just the combination of the sort of sauce with the garlic and the cauliflower. Oh my God, it was just so good. So yes, I saw the recipe actually on Facebook, and sometimes I just see these recipes on Facebook and I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. That sounds great. But I'm like, I have to try this one.
Yeah. And I saw it was like a video of it, and I saw them putting all that garlic in, and I was like,
It was so yummy. And believe me, there were no vampires visiting me last night.
Okay. I think that effect will be in your mouth for like a week or something.
No. Yeah, lucky people.
Do you have anything more about the myths?
It actually goes hand in hand with the protein thing.
Okay.
And this is, of course, that you can't gain muscle on keto, which is very, very interesting, because both past speakers, we've had, for example, Luis Villaseñor from Keto Gains, and that's a whole community about bodybuilding on keto sort of thing.
Yes.
And, for example, our LCU19 speaker, William Schufelt, who is, of course, carnivore, gone from vegan to carnivore, and his muscles are not looking bad. Or Danny Vega, for example, or, you know, there are tons of people that are just debunking this myth on their own, so that we almost don't have to say anything about it.
No. So, no, and I've been doing strength training very, very hard. I don't know what slipped into my mind that 1.5 year, but I did like four or five times a week. I did really tough strength training, and I was so keto. And I was doing it fasting as well.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Yeah, fasting. If yeah. That you need food to you can't get out of bed without food. No, no, no. Actually, if you try to fast a bit longer, I did 16-8 for many, many years. I started with I just ate dinner and then I had lunch the day after.
Yeah.
And the energy levels were super high.
Exactly.
And sometimes if I feel, because even if I'm like those rabbits in the commercial most of the time, but sometimes I can feel that, oh, like that. And then I do a day of fasting and I think it's like, ka-ching, it says.
Yeah.
And then I'm on it for a couple of months again. So,
yeah. I really think that keto definitely helps if you are looking to incorporate fasting into your toolkit. I don't think it's that easy to maybe fast if you are eating 7 times a day with snacks and stuff and only sugar. I think that is of course when you get the hangry syndrome, but you don't get hangry as easily on keto either. So I mean, I think keto is a good starting point for if you want to try out some fasting, where 16-8 is actually really easy.
It's easy to start.
It just has a fancy label with the numbers and 16-8, but all it really means is that you're skipping breakfast. That's it.
Yeah, and you can skip whatever you want.
Of course, whichever meal.
And I've seen people that just have an eating window that's about an hour a day.
Yeah.
So they shove in everything they need during just 1 hour. And I can eat one time sometimes as well. So I don't follow a scheme. I just do.
No, you just really have to listen to your body again and find out what works for you. And if the stuff that you're doing is not working for you or you're not getting to your goals, then tweak something. Get some ideas off of the interwebs and try it out. Because when you really find the stuff that is working for you at this point of time, it is a fantastic feeling. And you know what? Once you've found, just because you found it once doesn't mean that you have it for the rest of your life either. So you will have to come back to the drawing board every once in a while to figure out what is going on and how you're going to get to your goals.
So it is. Yeah. So I got nothing more on my list. Is there anything more you come to think of?
Keto is very restrictive and or starvation mode.
No. Okay.
I love it.
Okay. There is so much yummy food you can do now. Earlier, when I wasn't low carb, it was like, oh, and I needed bread, and it was bread and butter and cheese and coffee every morning, and oh no,
it was always the same. I find I'm way more varied now in what I eat in comparison to when I was eating high carb. And, you know, there had to be the pasta, there had to be the rice, the potatoes, the blah, 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 blah. All this stuff that I didn't even, that is actually quite tasteless, to be honest.
But, yeah,
in comparison with a nice fatty steak or, you know, really good protein or whatever.
Yeah, when you're saying that, I come to think of that earlier. You thought, I thought at least, okay, we're having pasta, rice, or potato tonight. What should we have with it?
Yeah.
Now I think, okay, I got a nice entrecote. What do I want to eat with that one?
Yeah.
So it has totally flipped the other way.
It's a mind shift.
Yes. And really I haven't thought about it. This was like an aha now. For me, so
I'm so happy we're recording it live so that we can, so we have proof of concept, sort of thing.
Yeah, and even if we're more, I have become less what you call picky with what I eat. I'm picky about what I'm putting into my body, but I even if I've been more like looking at food like energy to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be super beautiful, advanced recipes. It's very easy. But I also can put one and a half hour doing a really fancy dinner in keto. Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing with... That's where I... Sort of the restrictive part, coming back to that, that also makes it a little bit easy if you choose to see it as a restriction.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Which you absolutely don't have to, because it's not. It's actually, for me, eating keto is actually freedom. The other stuff was restrictive for many other reasons, but also because, as you say, I was really bound by this, like, yes, today we are having pasta. What are we having to the pasta?
Yes, exactly.
You know? Mm. So, yeah, debunked, I find, that debunked. Is restrictive, because there's so many. And if it were restrictive, then there wouldn't be this whole market of keto cookbooks, for example.
Exactly.
And Maria Emmerich, who's written, I don't know, 100 cookbooks or something.
Yeah.
Who you can also, of course, meet at LCU19 in November in Mallorca, and her husband Craig, who's also going to be speaking. Yeah. And I heard something that she said something about a cooking demo.
Yeah.
Did you hear that too?
Mm-hmm. I heard it through the grapevine, or what you say. Is there a rumor going? Yeah. Okay, cool. It will be exciting. Really exciting. Yep. So I'm done.
Yeah, are you me done? Too.
Yes, okay. So this was the epic 60th episode of the Low Carb Universe show. And thank you, Hannah, for this little chat. Always very interesting.
Yes, it really is. Thank you so much for chatting with me. Thank you for listening to us chat.
Yes. I'm very humble.
For being with us for 60 episodes. That's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just one more thing. Yeah. Do you listen, any of our listeners, if you have a myth about, heard anything about, except what we've been talking about now, some question people have been asking you, or stupid things they've been saying, that you lose your foot or something. please write it down in a comment, and we will laugh at it and answer it in the next episode, because even if we do another topic, we can shove it in.
We can always fit in a keto myth.
Yes, of course we can do it. Okay, but now we're done.
Yes.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.